Okay, I think we're gonna get started with because if the clock is correct, it's 11:13. I see. So I give you 1 minute to settle down.
How are you dealing with the transition from Sun to Microsoft?
I'm doing good. I'm doing
good. You don't remember? I used to be in technical support.
I recognize your face. Yes, we'll talk about that. So just before we get started with, when you settle down, you know, warm up your chair. So I have some questions. So I will repeat the questions from now on. I will make sure I remember that. If I didn't, please remind me, will you? Second thing is, so quite a few of you asked where you guys could get a presentation and demo code. You know, if you remember in the previous slide, I will post it in my blog, probably early next week. So what you could do is go to my blog. If you don't have that address, this is my address again, blogs.msdn.com/Doris Chen. Okay, so I will post all the presentation demo for today's webcam in the blog. So you could take a look. And we also going to send you some follow-up letter to tell you where you could download all the presentation and demo. And again, for those of you who want to look into some of the video recording like we did just now, you could actually go to that live link, follow that link, and all the video should be there. And I could share with you the link again later. All right, so I think most people are ready, right? Okay, let's get started with. So we're going to spend the next maybe 55 minutes, because I noticed we're a little late, to talk about HTML5 graphics. And then most important thing is Canvas and SVG. I think that gentleman asked me what SVG stands for. Anybody know what SVG stands for? Exactly. Scalable Vector Graphics. That's what SVG stands for. So we're going to actually, again, go back. I like to use this diagram as our content map, so you know which area we're doing. So in this particular session, we're going to actually talk a lot about graphics and effects, and we're going to focus on Canvas and SVG. So we have a pretty busy agenda for this hour. We're going to give some intro to SVG as well as Canvas. And then we're going to actually all build a very simple game together to take a look, you know, same game, but implemented with different technology. One is in Canvas, obviously the other is in SVG. So we want to give you some idea. What is the difference in terms of leveraging different technology? Is there's a particular scenario, one would be better than the other? When should we use what? That's what we usually do, right? When we have two graphical technology, and we always try to say, what are we gonna do with a real life application? You know, which one is better? So we're going to talk about that. And then we're going to talk about some of the tooling, right? Okay, so let's start one of my favorite feature in HTML5, which is SVG, Scalable Vector Graphics. So SVG is, I know some people know, it's not a new technology, right? It's been there for a while, right? And the people have different usage with that. And it's kind of popularity-wise, it's kind of on and off. But it is basically, you know, pretty straightforward. It's a 2D vector graphics using XML. You know, all the things, if you read all the SVG components, if you read all the markup, it's basically XML. And then SVG, compared to Canvas, is actually much more smart. It has a retained mode, meaning it has a memory, meaning the object tree of SVG is actually kept in the memory. Because of that, SVG has a unique object tree, so it could interact with DOM tree very easily, right? So because of the interaction with DOM, so that's why SVG works perfectly with JavaScript as well as CSS3, right? So you all see the powerfulness of using CSS3, you know how much stuff we could actually get accomplished sometimes without even writing any JavaScript, right? So we're going to talk about that. And then the other thing is SVG, the nature of that, it would be easy to do index search. So it would be good to work with ARIA, which is a very important part for HTML5. So here in IE9, we have the native support for SVG. And there's a lot of other modern browsers also have SVG support as well. You could actually using SVG in two different formats. One is basically like external. So think about SVG is a graphical, say, think about it, it's just an image, right? You could import or just include that piece of image into your code. Or you could actually, you know, get into a little detail, you know, you try to manipulate this SVG, then you could go into the inline mode. So in this particular session, we're going to actually concentrate on the inline, right? So first thing first, what does SVG look like? SVG is actually very simple. Like I said, it's XML, right? And then for this particular case, obviously started with a keyword called SVG, and then specify the width and height. And then you see this XML and this link here, so it's XML data. So, and then you could also use very descriptive tag to talk about the shape of that SVG component. So in this case, I have a rectangle called rack, and I have the color red, XY coordinates, and I also have the width and height defined. And the same thing, you could use very similar language to describe. There's another rectangular, and the color is blue, and with the coordinates as well as the dimension. All right, so this is SVG. So in a way, I think SVG is very easy to read. Right, and then there are a few like features you could actually work with. And then for everything here with all the green ticks, it's already supported in IE9. So we actually support most of the features, document structure, the shape, path, text, transforms, paintings, scripting, styling, gradient, and the patterns. Some people ask me about a gradient. Yes, we do have support for that. And then there's a few things which did not support like the filter effects. But that part is actually already supported in IE10, Pratam Preview 3. Okay, so you could actually take a look. So most of the SVG feature are there. It's pretty ready to really use it. So for those of you who maybe want to just get a little idea about what if, you know, I know like we're going to do a lot of inline code, but what if, you know, it's a standalone SVG, what is the best way I could make good use of that in my code, right? So very simple, you could actually insert a thing called object and put this SVG as part of the data. Or you could just say image, right? SVG is image, right? You could use start with that and the same thing, put your SVG file name there. And then you could also work, you know, use that as a background image, right? Some people maybe has really need a high resolution background image. You could use SVG. Obviously, iframe is still there, and you could also use embedded technology to work with. So these are kind of like the standalone, the external way to represent that SVG. But more interestingly, it's inline, because that's how you could work with JavaScript and CSS3, right? So let's move on. Let's take a look at a very simple SVG application. So it's a little demo. And then, for example, if I have a very simple blue rectangle, and you could, it's a blue rectangle, and I could use go to the F12 tool to take a look what it look like, right? So in this case, it's very simple. And then for any of the SVG component, if you click on that, it will go to the exact code in F12 tool. So you could take a look where that particular piece is located. So I know if that's a piece, I'm going to maybe attach an event onto it, or maybe I'm going to apply some CSS3 style sheet onto it, or so on. So with the two, it's very visually very easy for you to connect with the SVG component. So again, this is, I like to actually usually click on the script tab because that's I could see most of the code there. Again, this is the same thing. I define SVG, define the height and width, and then define this is a rectangle with the ID and with the height and width and so on, and fill with a color called blue, right? So this is very similar as the one I showed in the previous slide. So very simple. So next, what I would do is I want to show a little bit of complex SVG thing. So this is the SVG, right? And then obviously, most of the time, we probably just say, it's pretty complex. And then I don't really know where could I actually find them, right? So let's see. Okay, here was my two. So I go at so the two will go to the bottom. And then what you see is, for example, if I want to see, I'm interested in maybe to make this particular top to do something about it. And then so much stuff there, right? So what you could do is just click on that and see, this is a polygon, and with all the details afterwards. Then you could actually apply certain things onto it, right? So each SVG is actually composed with a lot of those small components. All right, this is actually SVG, not like a PNG or those things. It's different, right? It's like a black box, but SVG is each single component like that. You will be able to see it from this diagram. All right, so you get some idea about SVG. One thing I want to show you is how you could actually handle the event in SVG. So let's take a look at the code here. This is a little bigger, so it's easy to show. Could the people on the back read it okay? Yeah? Okay, make it a little bigger. So, very quickly, I have a very simple SVG component. It's basically a circle, and I'll put a keyword circle with the center XY coordinates as well as the radius, and also defining the color of that circle. And then very easily, if I want to just click on that, I just attach event called onClick, and then I have a JavaScript function called clickMe, right? In this case, clickMe is, you could implement anything you want, but for us, just for the illustration kind of purpose, we make it really simple. In this case, this clickMe function is, it's just an alert message. You click the SVG UI element, okay? So that's it. So let's take a quick look what it looks like. Let me move this a little smaller. So this is a circle we defined in the code. And then if I click on inside anywhere in the circle, that onClick event is captured. And it says you clicked the SVG UI element. Very good. And if I click on something outside the circle, nothing's going to happen. Right, because it's not the particular graphics we want actually attach event onto. That's perfectly fine. The other cool thing about that is you could actually go to really edge and then click on that. So it's still inside a circle. You will have the event captured. If it's just a little bit outside that circle boundary, you click on that, nothing will happen. What does that tell you? That actually tells you, you probably don't have to worry about edge detection because it's actually whatever the shape it is, when you associate, because it is an individual SVG component, when you actually attach event to that, it's going to work fine. The reason I want to emphasize that is I want you later on to take a look at the demo for Canvas, and you will get some idea, right? Okay, so stay tuned for that. So very good with nice edge detection. I attach an event into that individual piece, then I could actually handle the event with SVG. So the other one I want to do is, remember I said SVG could work with JavaScript, could also work with CSS3 style sheet as well, right? So now we have four rectangles with different color. Those are all SVG code. And if we hovered over, I defined some CSS onto that. If I hovered over, the first square changes the color. Second one also changes to yellow. Third one has no response. The fourth one also changed the color. Okay, so first, second, the last all change color, but the pink one does not. Let's take a look what's going on here. So let's take a look at the code with the CSS. Okay, so let's take a look from the really like a low level. So here I define four SVG rectangle, right, with different ID. And the very first one, which is a rectangle here, is I didn't really, you know, define any color or specify any things, right? So by default, I'm going to actually leverage a default color into a more generic or external CSS style sheet, or could it be inline style sheet, right? And that's the default one. And then if it didn't define a CSS, it's going to take the default color, which is black. And that's what you see. The first square is black. Second thing, second one, which is I actually define an ID, and also I define a class called a green rectangle. All right? So this is something, give you a hint. I'm going to actually leverage that a green rectangle, do something in the CSS. Right? So this is the second one, which is green. The third one is basically says, I have an ID, and then rather than take the big CSS style sheet, I actually have some inline style sheet right after within the same scope, right? So in this case, the style says, fill the color called pink, okay? And the fourth one is, again, it's a rectangle, and it's going to say, fill the color with red, right? So let's see the difference, all right? So this is black, this is green, this is pink, because it says so, this is red, right? So when we hover it over, I'm actually execute this particular CSS style sheet. So what it says here is, says if it's a green rectangle, then fill green, that's fine, it just did. If you hover it over into that square, you're gonna fill the color called yellow. Right, so that's what we see. First, second, last is all yellow. So why is that pink one doesn't change? So if you take a look, the close look of that pink one, it's because it's an inline style sheet apply. It explicitly says fill the color with pink, and this is the only style I want to apply for into that SVG component. I want to overwrite the inline CSS, which is at the beginning. And obviously, this piece could be an external CSS file as well. All right? So basically, in CSS, the order is kind of like if you have import, really external, that's the first one. And you have some inline style sheet within that file, that will overwrite whatever defined outside. Maybe you have a baseline thing, we have a really fundamental CSS style sheet defined, and you could overwrite here. But if you want to have explicitly control of that particular visual component, you could do an inline style just like this to override all the others. Yeah?
Would that mean HTML5 is more like running like a strict dot type over strict versus more traditional
words? So SVG, because it has such a good interaction with DOM, it is sort of follow the same pattern. And then Canvas would be different story. Right. But in terms of CSS style sheet applying, this order is the same for most of the components. Yes, question? Sorry, I don't get your question. What is the question again? Inheritance is different from the explicit. So the question is, this sort of like kill some of the inheritance feature you want to use for your style sheet. So you could actually append into it, right? I'm talking about overwrite. You could inherit it. Like if you don't define anything, you would take the default one because nothing defined. I'm talking about here is overwrite this piece. Like for this pink one, I said, just fill the color. I don't want you to do anything else. But you don't have to. You could just say, yeah, fill the color pink. Just like the fourth one, right? It's red. And that's totally fine. And then I'm going to apply all the style sheet onto it. It's for the overriding. In this particular case, it's nothing to do with inheritance. Okay. You could actually have multiple CSS style sheet for defining different things. As long as they don't have any conflict with each other, they should work. Good? Should we move on? Okay. All right, so you'll get this SVG works very well with CSS. And then perhaps one of the most important usage for SVG is working with maps, because all the maps are not really regular shape, right? So it has all the really weird kind of shape. And then because of that, it's perfect for work with SVG, right? So for example, election is coming up. You maybe want to take in the poll. You want to do the click for that particular state. Then you could use SVG, right? You could, because every click is catching up an event. You could actually calculate that count really easily. Whereas when we go to Canvas, you will see it's not that easy, right? So in this case, it's Alaska. Anybody could tell me what the state is that? Very good. Okay, so it's Hawaii. So that's a pretty typical usage, you know, with a map and attach an event onto that called onClick, very similar to that little circle, right? Very similar. Okay, so let's move on a little bit into some, this is very fundamental. Just want you to be a little familiar with SVG characteristics. But really in real life, you know, we actually use SVG for real scenario. So one of the good ones I want to share with you is, I think somebody in the break asked me this question, which is, if I have a really complex medical image and I want to make sure I have high resolution, I don't lose any information, and then, but I want to do the zoom, all those nice kind of like a visual effect, what should I do? I think it would be a good candidate for SVG, because SVG is really famous for working with very complex objects. And you take a look at this demo to see how the resolution could be preserved even you actually zoom this image into very, very large. So which one you want to take a look, the detail? How about this one, the blood vessel one? Yeah? So I could click on that. And this is a pretty complex anatomy kind of image. And then I could obviously reduce the size, but also the other way I could zoom it. Isn't that great? Think about if it's a regular PNG, a regular image, and if you zoom into this level, you probably wouldn't be able to preserve all the good resolution like this, isn't it? And this is what's so good about SVG. If you have a high fidelity kind of image, you want to preserve the resolution. If you have a very complex chart or org chart, you have, say, for example, you have a company, you have org chart with all the nice image from each employee, you want to be able to zoom to take a look at the nice pictures, SVG would be a good candidate. Yeah? All right. So, yes, have a question? No. Oh, you have a question. Okay.
Is it possible that, I mean, you just showed the hour over it, the color changes, right? That's part of CSS. And you change the
value. Yes, the style sheet, yes.
So, but what if you go on to something more complex than just changing the color? Would it embed into JavaScript and then
Yeah, so the question is, I just showed a very simple example for SVG to work with pretty fundamental CSS, like a hover kind of effect. If I want to more work with an SVG component, I want to do more fancy stuff with that, what we should do? Yes, definitely, you probably need to work using JavaScript to do something, or it depends on the feature. Some of the CSS3 feature is pretty good. You could directly apply that. Depends, you know, what you have. And in general, this is the rule, okay? HTML5, it's a big umbrella. If you want to work on a lot of like a 3D effect, animations, and all those fancy things, yes, you probably do need to use JavaScript if that's not directly supporting the CSS3 yet, right? So that's sort of the general approach. And this afternoon or for the rest of the session when we do the demo, you will see we actually use the same approach, all right? Good. Pardon me?
Touch.
Gestures. So it's not exactly something in the scope of this, but I think there's a sort of like a little bit like a device dependent. And then if you have a touchable device and you do have an API, which is for Microsoft next generation device, you would be able to do that very easily. Yeah. So this is a good usage. And then people say, how about the others? Like if I need to do some pretty fancy visualization, is there any library I would be able to use? Yes, there's a, I don't know, this site always has something. But Referral has a pretty cool JavaScript library, which I didn't want to spend time. You could probably take a look. And the link is also in the demo. If you download demo, you will see that. And each individual of those little demo will give you very nice visualization for charts, for animations, and oh, just very simple chart, and you could take a look. So Rachel is a good one. And there's another one called high-level JavaScript. It's called highcharts.com for those people really want to make the charts work. And this is actually, highcharts is something you want to work with. And you could see there is, it's a JavaScript library, and you could actually use all the charts, you know, to see how it's going to refract with different, like, grids, style, sky. And then if you really, you know, want to play with the charts, this should give you enough API to start with. It's called highcharts.com. And again, it's actually work with SVG really well. So let me go back and see if there's any other demo I could share with you. Okay, so I think that's probably about it. And then I will talk about some of the other you know, importance about SVG later, but let's sort of switch the gear a little bit, move on to the next subject. Sorry, didn't hear your question. What's the question again? Animations? So basically, what kind of animations you're talking about? There's a lot of animation you could apply onto SVG. It's the same thing, either using JavaScript library, like I will show you, like a ratio or the high charts, or you could write your own JavaScript to get animation on top of that. Yes, question on the back. What's a standard? The tools? We'll talk about that. How are we going to generate SVG tools? Yeah, the question is how are we going to actually using some tools to generate SVG, right? Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll cover that in the next slide. So SVG, pretty smart, retain mode, interact with DOM, work with JavaScript as well as CSS3. Canvas is very fundamental, right? If you ever use the paint program in Windows, you know what Canvas is. It's very low-level primitive graphics, right? But it's not that smart. It is what we call immediate mode. Immediate mode meaning doesn't have any memory. It doesn't have any things captured in the memory. So hence, it's basically it's fire and forget. All right. So once you actually fire something, you draw it once, that's it. You don't expect to go back, say, maybe that particular attribute I want to reuse again. No, it's gone. Right. It doesn't have any memory. And it does. You do need a JavaScript to work with Canvas. You could use JavaScript to do a lot of drawing, primitive drawing, fill this shape, that shape, the color, and so on, draw the curve. But that's about it. It doesn't have any memory captured in the object tree. Hence, it could not work with CSS3. So there's no CSS3 you could work with Canvas. Everything you have to probably sort of implement using JavaScript. But it is, having said that, it's not that smart, but it's okay because it's very simple, right? It only has 45 methods and 21 attributes. So this has all the API of Canvas. That's all you need to remember and learn. Isn't that nice? I haven't seen things so simple since like many years ago, like one particular technology is like one slide, that's it. But that, really, that's all you need. Okay, 45 minutes, 20-something attributes. Simple to use, right? So Not to get into detail, because in the lab, you're going to actually try a few. So again, first thing first is then how you actually do the canvas in HTML5? Well, in terms of markup, it's very, very simple, right? So you have a keyword called canvas, and then you define your ID, define your width and height. And then one of the things, I get a little preview, I will talk about that in the afternoon, but is HTML5 has a very nice feature called a fallback. Meaning if that particular browser does not support a canvas, it will actually show whatever content or error message you put there. So it's not going to be like an absolute no response or give you some really weird error. It will actually show the message you put there. We usually would say, your browser doesn't support a canvas. Sorry, please upgrade to the next version or things like that. So it's good, right? It's very user-friendly. People know it doesn't support. So whatever you put there, it's going to show if the canvas is not supported. So afterwards, it's not like SVG. You could define all the XML, right? Like a shape. You have to use JavaScript to do something. So here is an example. You have to actually using document get element by ID and grab that context from get a context 2D. For now, canvas is all 2D. And then you're going to actually fill the star with the style with the color. It's RGB color, right? And then you could also fill the rectangle with the dimension and the coordinates. Okay, so with canvas, even though the markup is very simple, but it does require you write some JavaScript to say what is the detail of that particular graphics inside a canvas. Canvas is like a container. It's like a black box, right? So it defines the very fundamental size of that and just say, hey, the rest of the work, I'll leave the JavaScript to do whatever you want to draw there. But for people, if you don't look at the JavaScript code, if you just look at a markup, it's like a black box. It's like, hey, this is the canvas area. That's it. Okay. Okay, so same thing. Let's go to take a look at demo, because that's probably the best way to learn some of the characteristics of canvas. So again, first thing is a blue rectangle, and that's actually very similar like what we just did for SVG, and the only difference is, I'm trying to find my F12 too. Oops. That's a pretty nice effect. All right, here we go. It's hiding there. So I always like to look at the script tab, and you will see the full code, right? So sorry, it's the canvas. So here, what you see is the canvas. They define this black box. It's 100 by 100. And then I use JavaScript to init it, right? So I'm, you know, same thing as like the slide, right? So I'm not going to repeat it. So second demo is I'm going to actually show you how to handle the click event. So same thing, all right? So this is, let me show you a little bit bigger in the, so it's a circle. We're defining a circle, and we attach an event called a click on UI, right? This is how you define the canvas, 200 by 200. And then that's a black box you define, and say, or attach an event called click on UI. So we take a look at the detail, but before we do that, we actually need to draw on that canvas, right? So again, we go through the normal routine to grab a document aspect, get the context, and then we start to draw the circle, right? So we have to say begin the pass, fill the style with this particular color, and then it's not a circle you're drawing, it's actually arc you're drawing. So you have to define how you're gonna actually set up your arc parameters and then draw a circle. And then lastly, you have to fill the content. So these are the a few lines you need to do if you want to draw a circle on a canvas, and it's all JavaScript, right? And then the click on UI, this particular method is, again, very simple. It's alert method, right? Give a message. Okay, so now you know how we can actually do it with canvas, how to attach event onto that. So let's take a look. So again, click on inside a circle, you will have alert message, right? Now, click on outside, doesn't fry, That is perfectly fine. If you do it a little bit outside a circle, what's going to happen? The event will fry. Why? Because of dimension, right? Right. So I was going to just say that. So in order to actually do the edge detection, you have to put extra effort into it to make it happen. So that's a very fundamental difference between SVG and the cameras. Yes, it's doable. You could do edge detection. But like I said, if you have a really weird shape kind of object, like a map, how are you going to actually do the edge detection? You have to apply all the mass, right? All the curve or whatever, try to fit into that to simulate that. It's not an easy job, right? So for this, no big deal, right? It's a circle. So I should be able to calculate what's inside and what's outside. But just give you an idea. This is canvas. It's a black box with a region capture. If you want to do a nice edge detection, very accurate event capture, you have to apply some methods. You have to handle yourself. Okay, so it doesn't have a CSS3, so we don't have any style to apply, so we don't have any demo ready for that. But there is one demo which I could do. It's called display an image. Okay, so let's take a look. It's very common. You actually display an image inside a canvas. Okay, so how many of you think displaying an image in a canvas is really straightforward? As straightforward as this, like this, right? So I have a canvas with a height. I'm adding my basically JavaScript. In this case, is add an event listener called load the image. And then what I say is I create a fish image. And then I grab some drawing context. And then I'm going to just draw this image into this canvas. This is the image name, all the parameters for the coordinates and dimensions and so on. And then this is where you could get that resource for the image. Anything wrong with that? Looks like a pretty straightforward, isn't it? Okay, let's try. So if we do run, nothing happened. So some people will say, it is IE. Okay, let's try something in, you know, some browser, different browser. Let's take a look. Which one you want to try? Chrome? Firefox? Sure, Firefox. Nothing happened. Why is that? That's too quick to draw. So, doesn't matter, you try it on Mac. I give you the code. You guys have Mac. Try it. Okay? See, that's why, you know, every time I want to try different browser and make sure. The cool thing is here is it's your code. You have to write a good code. Why is that? Think about it. Here, I didn't really actually checking if that image is fully loaded. Did I do that? I didn't. And you should do that. Because how do you know in a canvas that image is fully loaded, is fully available? Because you have to wait for the image to be available in order to display it. Very simple concept, right? So here, I didn't take care of it. I would just say, blah, 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 draw it, and that's it, right? So I have to add that into it. So this is actually a little tricky because a lot of people is not aware of they need to do that. So let me put it here. And just save some time, I delete that. So all we put here is leverage that image called a fish and add an event listener, make sure it's fully loaded. If it's loaded, I'm gonna actually draw it. If it's not loaded, I probably could do something else. I'll have some message or whatever, right? So let's try it. So let's go back. So here we got our fish, right? Nice. So let's try the, what is the other browser we did before? Firefox, yes. Let's try it one more time. See if we fix the problem. What happened? What happened with Firefox? Okay. So the thing is, it's actually a little web thing. It's every time you do the development on the web, on the browser, you have to make sure you want to enforce. I usually do shift reload. You have to enforce the reload, because otherwise there may be some cache or garbage there. It will be confusing. You say, I fixed the code already. What happened? I couldn't see it, right? Make sure. It's a $1 million tip. Shift reload. Do it. All right? Okay. So we're happy, right? And now you could try on Mac, right? All right, whatever. So let's go back and then take a look at some other things. So display image is a really common one. And then if you want to learn more about the canvas characteristics, it's a part of IE test drive. If you go for that, there is a canvas pad or HTML5 canvas. You could look at that, and again, it's used the same fashion. It will show you the code here, as well as what it looked like for that canvas. And it could say, if I want to do like something, apply shadow onto canvas, what am I going to do? If I could just work with the text, what's the code will look like? I could also play with, say, if I want to put a video, which I'll talk about this afternoon, but put a video into canvas, you know, what should I do with this? If you look at the code, it's really just a few lines of code, right? It could play the video. I could work with the transformation, work with the scale, and so on, right? You could also apply a bunch of really cool, animations. And what I like the most is this one. It's really like a draw things with your mouse inside of cameras. And again, you know, if you look at the code here, it's all done by JavaScript and using some math, like a random generator, things like that. It's not extremely difficult. It's just that, you know, I don't know how many lines of code, probably 30, 40 lines of code you could do that. Pretty cool, isn't it? Yes? Yes. Yes. So the question is, could you actually add in the SVG component into the canvas? So a lot of time you could see the effect as if the canvas is running on SVG background or something. But it's actually a separate part, right? Because it doesn't matter. It's just the two graphics. And as long as you tell them the right coordinates to display, they will handle it themselves, right? But there's something maybe you could do if you want to make it really fancy. You could play with a JavaScript for both components to make some sort of like a overlapping effect or things like that, or have some, you know, special effect. Yes, you have a question. Okay. Yeah. So, good question. So hold on to it. I'm going to actually share with you. So this lady is saying things like, I heard a lot of good things about SVG. I heard something good about a canvas. So, you know, when we should use canvas, when we use SVG. This is a good question. We're going to actually talk about that. So before we move on, I have one more set to show you, which is basically there's a bunch of canvas library you will be able to use. For example, let me see if I could make there's some problem with my machine. Let me switch to another machine. Let me load it really quickly. So this is actually, you see actually the whole, could you see it? Okay. So you actually see the whole demo site. Okay, let me reopen that app again. Let's take a look. So what I'm talking about is we actually will be able to use some of the SVG, canvas library. Like, for example, this one is called Complex Chatting. It takes a little time to load. Okay, things like that. And you will be able to see a lot of nice diagrams, visualization by using this library to work with a canvas. And then, you know, it's pretty, you know, much like you could choose either the SVG JavaScript library or the canvas. It's pretty optional, you know, doesn't have a favor like from one to the other. Okay, let's go back. Presentation. Okay, so next we're going to actually take a look again. Okay, so now we get some fundamental idea about, you know, SVG and the canvas. So let's actually go into there and take a look how we're going to build the same game but with different technology, right? So let's go to the demo. And the one I'm really interested is, let me pull up. It's called Simple Game, Canvas version, Simple Game SVG version. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put these two games side by side. Oh, first of all, let's run it. So I'm running this particular game. It's a very, you know, it's just a simple game like a ball with a board, a paddle. And if I don't do anything, it's going to fail. Set game over. Okay, just simple like that. All right. So this is the SVG version. And if you take a look, the canvas version, it's exactly the same look and feel. Let me show you. All right, this is the canvas version. All right, same thing. Right, exactly look and feel. So the important thing is take a look at the code. Okay, so I believe this side is SVG, the other side is canvas. And I don't know if you could change the font. Make it a little bigger. Oh, zoom in. Okay. But it's okay, so we do that. Okay, so it's a little hard to control, but let's see if we could do that. Okay, so let's take a look at the very bottom, right? I have to put it back, I'm sorry. Doesn't work. Yeah. Right. I think the font size is a little small. So let's take a look. Let's zoom just for the SVG piece first. So with SVG, it's very simple. I define the graphics, right? Use SVG, I define the rectangular thing, the little board, the circle, and the little paddle, right? So I use SVG graphics to represent that. Could you read the code okay? And then with canvas, take a look. So with canvas, we go to the very end. It's basically a black box because it's going to define the canvas. Oh, I see it. I see it. Is it better? Or maybe 200? Let's see. Okay, 200. Thank you. That's much better. Okay, so now we could do it. Thank you. So with canvas, if we take a look, very simple. It's a canvas with a game board. Define the size. That's about it, right? But I do have to think about how to draw this game canvas. And with SVG, yes, I also do some drawing. Also called a draw game SVG. So take a look. So let's go back to where we actually started the drawing, right? So this is the same local variables we're defining for canvas as well as SVG. And then does it look like the canvas side has a little more definition for different like paddle position and so on. But the important thing is, let's take a look at the method. Inside a Joule game SVG, we actually use a game loop, and then we implement a method called a Joule ball, and use a 16, that's a very typical milliseconds kind of interval, and then adding the event listener called KeyDon, you know, to do that. So that's for the SVG part. And then for the cameras part, it's kind of similar. But you know, you have to actually do some cameras kind of graphics kind of, you know, extraction. So you could do, you have to do document, context, get a 2D, and then same thing, use a game loop, and then call this draw ball function, same interval, and exactly the same way to handle the event handler. All right. Now, so let's take a look at the close look of draw ball. So in SVG, in the draw ball, we actually could use some mass, you know, formula to change the ball location, right? And then we could actually call set attribute of that particular ball, because why? SVG has a memory. I know where to actually do something about it, right? So that's why I call it a set attribute. Whereas if you look into the canvas, you're probably not that lucky, because in a way, they don't really have any memory. So they have to actually draw everything, right? Create a border first, fill the border, draw a ball, and then draw the paddle, right? You draw the paddle like this. So, and then afterwards, it's very similar code. You can if you do side by side, right? It's a implementing the bounce on left or right of the edge, that particular routine. If you look at these two, they're almost identical. I don't see any difference. But Canvas did spend a lot of time trying to draw all those things with SVG sort of defined in the XML data already. So if we move on, this is the same thing. If I say implement the what key, you know, because you have the left and right, right? So I have to determine what key to press. This particular prod is also very similar for both SVG and the cameras. In other words, the only difference here is, again, SVG has a set attribute. It knows where to get it back. And then with Canvas, is using different sort of routine to do that. All right. But the logic-wise, everything is very much the same. All right. So wrap it up. I know I'm kind of late, you know, you already gave me signal. Wrap it up. The idea here is for the graphics, all those things, SVG seems like it's a little bit better, but then the canvas may be more complex. But in this particular simple game, it's not really that much dramatic a difference, because it's pretty much, say, canvas is 114 lines of code, whereas SVG in this case is 88 lines of code. So we talk about maybe 30 lines of code difference in this simple demo. But what I try to address you, you know, is if you have some more complex one, right? So if you use this diagram to compare these two, Canvas is pixel-based, very simple. SVG is shape-based. The only difference is SVG could work with both CSS3 and JavaScript, whereas Canvas can't, right? Performance-wise, let's take a look at the diagram. Okay, so let's see, where's the diagram? Here, sorry. So this diagram, what it will show you is when the size of a screen is getting bigger, the red line here is SVG. So when the screen size is getting huge, the SVG take less time than the cameras. Whereas when the number of objects is getting larger, okay, we talk about a relatively small screen size, then canvas seem like it take less time in performance-wise than SVG. So this is what this diagram tells you. So what it really means is if we go to this particular diagram is for visualization data, right? So I could have a very complex way to represent data. I could use both SVG and canvas. But the SVG could work with all the CSS, so that's an advantage. But other than that, it's not that huge. But if you look at this diagram, if I have something really complex, like little dots like this, and I want to try to sort of modeling this particular graphics, then in this case, because with so many small objects involved, Canvas is probably a better choice because the performance will be better. All right. Now, in reality, what people do is actually use both. For example, if I want to do a weather report based on all the map, so the map part, all the map diagram, I'm going to use SVG. Now, And then it has good performance, it has good resolution. But then if I go down, when I want to show like all the really small weather, like a symbol, like raining, windy, sunshine, all the symbol, I would draw a lot of objects onto this map, then in that case, Canvas will be a good candidate, right? So performance-wise, this way we actually preserve, take advantage of both graphics. So in reality, we probably use both for visualization data. But there's something really simple, totally good about SVG is static image. High fidelity, like a medical image. You could zoom it into really big to preserve the resolution. And then with Canvas, if you want to do screen capture, video manipulation, we'll talk about that in more detail. Really small particles, small objects with Canvas is probably good. In the middle part, 2D game or interactive charts, like I said before. That's kind of in the middle, depends on the nature of your visualization. All right. So hopefully this will really give you some idea about SVG and the Canvas. I think I'm running out of time, so I have a really nice demo called SVG Girl. It's under the Beauty of the Web. If you get a chance, take a look. So the tooling part is important because I don't want you to draw manually of SVG, right? So you want to actually use all this tool. So what are the tools available for SVG? You could use Microsoft Visio to export SVG, or you could use Adobe Illustrator. You could use that to save as SVG, as well as there's an open source tool called InkSpace. You could use that to draw your SVG. And then this is for SVG. Have some people asking me about a tool. Is it good? Yeah. Okay, so for the Canvas, there's a very good tool which actually we introduced at a MIX. It's called AI to Canvas. And it could actually work with Adobe Illustrator. You could actually import it as a bitmap. And then you could also put in additional drawing animations on top of that. And this tool is really easy to use. Some of the simple animation, you could actually see it in the tool itself. So I highly recommend you could take a look. One thing about that is people always ask me about browser hardware acceleration. So this diagram will give you the idea about the hardware acceleration support in different in major browsers. So IE9 and above has all the hardware acceleration for video, Canvas, SVG, and then this diagram also lists some other browsers that support for different features. So again, you know, most likely if you talk about hardware acceleration, a lot of modern browsers are competing on that. If you take a look at the performance, everything, this is just, you could see it from this diagram, how well you could support, you could optimize different support for HTML5 feature, and then the good performance you would get for your HTML5 app, right? So a lot of demos, you could use different browser to take a look at performance yourself. Okay, so a few URL to share with you. If you want to learn more about SVG Canvas, you could go to this bit.ly link. It will tell you very fundamental about all the Canvas, SVG, more exercise. And plus this afternoon, we will actually have about more than 3 hours to try that as well. If you want a really like a white paper reading for about like IE9 like and then F12 too, you could read this white paper. A very good technical overview, you could go to MIX. It's a conference usually held in Las Vegas every April. It has a lot of good sessions on HTML5. You could take a look. Again, IE Test Drive for the feature-specific demo, like the Canvas pad demo I showed you. Real-life demo, you will use Beauty of the Web. You could take a look. And then there's one site which I think it's good is for the Canvas demo by community. All right, this is you know not Microsoft site, but you could take a look. A lot of cool Canvas demo. And with that, I think we're going to break for lunch. So now, as I apologize for being a little late, it's 12:12. So we're going to take a 1 hour break until, say, 1:12, 1:13. No? All right, thank you.